This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Rise. Wake up.
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the Morning Roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, thank you, FOMO Mike. Halfway home here on a hump day in the Bay. It's a little foggy, a little overcast, but I love that. That's what makes the Bay feel. Good morning, Joe.
I woke up, there was a mist in the air, and I loved it.
Felt great. Felt cool. Felt calming.
Yeah.
It felt like, you know what? This 49ers offseason, it's felt calming. It's felt... no drama. We got OTAs starting. We got off-season approaching in the NBA now as both conference finals, both teams now, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers, are up 3-1 over the T-Wolves and Knicks, respectively. So they're looking to close out those series. Are we headed for a middle America NBA Finals, people? Oklahoma v. Indiana? Yippee! Yeah! I'm trying to be enthusiastic about it. Shea's really cool. Halliburton's story's really awesome. Boy, that's a tough markets to try to really get out there, though. I get it. Like, the hoop heads are going to love it. They're going to love it, but I'm skeptical. I just am. Am I a bad person for saying that?
No. I think that the people that want to, like, come to, you're a casual. No, the majority of people are casual. The diehards will watch no matter what.
Absolutely. You know who's a diehard of all things sports, I would say? It's Chris Rose, who joins us now on the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests of 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Chris Rose, NFL Network, John Boy Media. Of course, BattleBots, baby. Love me some BattleBots. Chris, good morning. You're on with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great. We're talking on a lot today. OTAs obviously started in the NFL. The talk of the town. Obviously, Brock Purdy, again, that fat contract. We'll get to the Giants, but I did want to stick with the Niners because that was the conversation we were just having. Christian McCaffrey and his availability, right? Like, that's a guy, when he is out there, could be the best player on the field at any given time. Last year, he wasn't on the field enough, and the media will be able to watch him practice tomorrow. So his burst, the bilateral Achilles tendonitis, that's a big question mark. But let's stick to the quarterback real quick here, Chris. When you saw Brock Purdy get that contract, what was your initial thoughts?
Well, I mean, I get it. They were kind of screwed. You know, there aren't a lot of organizations that can keep hitting the reset button on quarterback. Really, the Niners are about the only one that's been able to successfully do it, right? They go from Jimmy G to trying to hand the reins to Trey Lance to finding Brock Purdy, and they have stayed in contention pretty much throughout. Have they had a couple of down years throughout this, you know, 7-8 year run that they've been on? Sure, they have. there aren't other organizations that would be able to deal with trading away three first-round picks for a guy and having him barely play. Now probably it's showing up a little bit in their lack of depth. But, I mean, what were you going to do? Let him walk after this year? No. So in order for him to accept an agreement, they had to go in the $50 million range. And we can all sit here and say, well, I wouldn't pay Brock Purdy more than $40 million a year. Well, you're not in that position where you can see a quarterback, starting quarterback in this sort of system walk away. Will it have its pitfalls? Possibly. But I think they were kind of up against it.
Sounds like you don't like the deal. Is that true?
No. I'm not going to say I don't like the deal. I don't think that the NFL has figured out how to properly value guys who aren't elite. So the hardest thing to do in this sport is find the right guy under center, right? We can all agree on that. But there are so few Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow. Then we even have a tough time figuring out, like, who's the fifth best quarterback in the league. And some people will say, well, I'll take Jalen Hurts. And some people say, well, Jalen Hurts can't do anything without A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley and one of the great offensive lines in the league. And, you know, that's where the argument goes after those top four guys. And so trying to figure out what to pay the next line of quarterbacks and even the line that's like a half step beyond that, guys that you feel like are good enough to win, but everything's kind of got to go right. And so are they really the guy? We just haven't figured out how to properly value those dudes.
Talking to Chris Rose here on the River Islands Guest Line, The Morning Roast, NFL Network, John Boy Media. And it's fascinating stuff, Chris, because I think a lot of our jaws just dropped when you said that. And he didn't say anything like inflammatory, but it's just this notion of elite quarterbacks. And it's that word that always triggers everyone, right? For the longest time, what was it? Joe Flacco, is he elite, right?
Well, it's like the ace conversation we were having.
Yeah.
I was saying to Joe earlier that, like, just because you're the number one in the rotation in baseball doesn't make you an ace.
No.
You might be
I agree.
You might be a frontline starter, but my threshold for that word is significantly higher, and I think we throw it around. The word elite, we kind of throw it around, and like to me, elite is like a select few,
right?
So I guess there's a happy medium in how we throw these words around.
Yeah, or franchise quarterback, right? Everybody goes, because he's drafting the first round. Well, they got there for it. Do we really know if Jackson Dart is going to be the Giants' franchise quarterback?
I have no clue.
Just because he was... Yeah, I have zero idea about it. I don't even know if Cam Ward's going to be the franchise quarterback, and he went number one overall. So I would agree with you. I've never felt like there have been 30 aces in baseball, because when somebody says, well, we got to go against the ace of their staff, yo, let's slow that for just a second, because you might be facing a crappy pitching staff. Dude might just be, you know, the best on that team. So... You know, but he might be the fourth best starter on somebody else's team. And I agree with you. Never made sense.
Yeah. No, I love this. And so we were kicking this around earlier. And since, you know, you brought up kind of the baseball thing and, you know, do you consider Logan Webb an ace? I said, you know, Matt Cain for so long was a great player. Love him. One of my favorites. Lincecum for the longest time was their ace. And he was, there was a cachet, if you will, and a swagger and the team and the fan base and everyone knew. It was a win day. Not that Matt Cain wasn't great. He was great. But Logan Webb is a great player. I'm just not sure I have him as a quote-unquote ace. Is he an ace for you?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
And obviously people who follow what I do know that, you know, I'm pretty close with Logan. He was on our show, Chris Rose Rotation, for a long time. But I think I'm able to separate a little bit of who those guys are and maybe a personal relationship with what I do consider an ace. And here's why I do. Makes every start, which in today's game, you can't take lightly. He is out there every fifth day. He is pissed if he doesn't see the seventh inning. So when he only sees six, he's steaming for those 4 days in between his starts. This year, he's actually striking out a ton more guys than he ever has. I mean, if you look at his line last night, six innings, 10 Ks, one walk, three earned, seven hits. He's never going to be a guy that will. He'll never throw a no-hitter. He just, too many guys put the ball in play and will find a hole. Even on his best nights, he's getting ground balls, and sometimes they're hit at defenders, and sometimes they don't. And for people that aren't huge baseball fans, coaches are begging for you to have teams hit the ball on the ground. They will take that 1,000 times out of 1,000. And that's what Logan Webb does as well as anybody. So you know exactly, A, that you can depend on him to show up. B, that if you turn the TV on for the first time in a Giants game and it's a sixth or seventh inning, you have a pretty good chance of still seeing Logan Webb out there. To me, that is an ace in today's world.
Talking with Chris Rose here, NFL Network, John Mamita. Chris, what do you make of the Giants season thus far? 7 games over .500, a recent scuffle here. The bats just have been atrocious. Willy Adames, obviously their huge offseason signing, has not really gotten it going offensively or defensively at times, quite frankly. He had a couple hits yesterday. Chapman, obviously a streaky player offensively. You know what you're getting defensively there. And then Patrick Bailey, batting 175. I know catching batting averages are down across the board, but 175 is yikes. That's some like starting pitcher from like a decade ago in the NL stuff. What are you making of the Giants, though, 7 games over .500 here on May 28th?
Yeah, worse than the .175. I mean, really, OPS is the number that people are focusing on these days because it takes into account the amount of damage you're doing when you put the ball in play, right? And his is sub-500, which is horrific. I mean, the league average is right around 700. His is under 500, which is unacceptable. So when the Giants got off to this great, great start, I said, you know, part of the reason I'm still skeptical is because of the lineup. And it was at a time when they were still hitting pretty well. And it really just, here's the biggest problem with the Giants. I don't know where the fix comes from. It doesn't like they've got a ton of guys knocking on the door. I think it has to come from the guys who are in the lineup. And yes, Willy Adames, you know, you knew that possibly metrically he was going to fall off significantly when he went to San Francisco. But part of the reason you pay him $182 million is like for the guy that he is every day. That goes a long way in a long season. And the fact that, yeah, he's ticked off that he's putting up these kind of numbers, but he's still going to be the same guy every day, that sort of stuff. Well, he does have to produce. He can't be sitting at the numbers that he's sitting at right now in order for them to be as good as they are. Late night Lamont has been a disappearing act at first base. Basically, it's been their outfield and Wilmer Flores that have pretty much carried them to this point. And, you know, even Jung Ho Lee has not had a good month of May. I'm just worried based on, A, the division they're in, that they would be able to make the playoffs with, you know, also the Mets and the Phillies. I wouldn't count out the Braves. I'm not sold on the Cardinals yet. I still think you only have to worry about one team in the Central. But then you've got, you know, the Padres, who are still really good, the Dodgers, and who knows what's going on with the Diamondbacks bullpen. But, yeah, I'm a little worried about the Giants.
I hear you, and I was going to ask you if you think they can make the playoffs, and it seems like you're very skeptical. What guys are out there that they should be targeting in a trade? Because it still feels like as good as the team is around the Giants right now, they're missing a centerpiece guy where all these other dudes could slot into. Is there anyone out there that they should be targeting?
So what you really have to do is look at the crappy teams, because those are the ones that are going to be giving up guys. And it's not a great selection this year. It's just not. Really, if you're... I suppose the benefit is that the Giants, it feels like they've got an overflow. When Verlander returns, a little bit of an overflow of starting pitching, and their bullpen has been phenomenal this year. It's why they are 7 games over .500, 55 games into the year. And those are two areas where teams are starving for help. So is it possible you could pry a guy who's got a, you know, a couple years still of service time left on a contract, but is a solid everyday player? I don't think you're going to get a lineup changer. I mean, if that's what you're looking for, I don't think that happens during the season in a trade. I think it happens off season in a monumental trade. I think it happens off season when there are free agents to be had. But I really don't see too many guys out there that can be had.
Talking to Chris Rose here, NFL Network, John Boy Media. Also a diehard Cleveland sports fan. I want to end it with this, Chris, and we really appreciate your time this morning. Were you following along the, and I'm sure you did.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This is a silly question, but you're known obviously for the football and baseball, but basketball, the Cleveland Cavaliers, were you a believer in them as like legit championship contenders at any point this season?
Yeah, I was, but I had the same questions going into this playoff that I had last year when they got bounced in the Eastern Conference semis by Boston, which was A, is the backcourt too small? And B, is the frontcourt too big? And what I mean by that is, you know, Mitchell is only 6'3". He's not. You can't run him at the point. Garland's 6 feet and is constantly banged up. The front court, Mobley, we knew that they were going to make, defenders were going to make him prove it, that he could hit threes consistently like he did during the regular season, but do it in the playoffs. And he played great. He played really well. And then Jared Allen, you know, he doesn't shoot from outside of 10 feet. So was he going to be an offensive liability? Was it going to be like they were going to play 4-on-5? And he was fine in the Miami series, but when we stepped it up in competition, he was lost. So the construction of this team feels a little flawed for the way the game's played. Indiana consistently had 5 shooters on the floor against us, and we had at most 4. And unfortunately, a team that shot the ball exceptionally well and was really efficient offensively in the regular season just bottomed out and lost to a team that played better in 5 games. So did I think they had a chance to win the NBA championship? Absolutely. I mean, the teams, whether it's Indiana and OKC or if the Knicks and Minnesota end up making it to the final, whatever, the Cavs aren't worse than those teams. They just didn't play as well when it mattered most.
No, and it's frustrating because we're obviously we're the home of the Warriors, so it feels like you're seeing Indiana get there, right? And OKC, it might just be OKC's year, and maybe they get there and they sweep or they win in five, and it's just like you look back, it's like, all right, maybe no one was beating the Thunder this year. They were that freaking good, and it took the Nuggets and their seven-game series against one of the greatest players of all time, Nikola Jokic, to even push them. But it does feel like if you're a Cavs fan, if you're a Warriors fan, you might look at the end of this year and be like, man, this might have been the most wide-open postseason we had in quite some time, because obviously the Tatum injury changed everything with the Celtics, and it's just frustrating, right? So, hey, Chris, we appreciate the time. Good stuff as always, and we'll catch up soon.
Guys, thank you. Appreciate it.
There he goes. That's Chris Rose, NFL Network, John Boy Media. Play-by-play for BattleBots on the Science Channel. Also does some interim broadcasting for the Cleveland Browns. Big Cleveland sports fans. I just wanted to end it there because he is tapped in all things sports in Cleveland. And I do think the Cavs were an interesting, you know, kind of test of just regular season versus playoffs, because I never really quite believed in them as much as I did with, like, the Thunder. I believed could get to the conference finals. Now, could they have gotten past whoever they played? Now it's clear that they match up very well against the T-Wolves, and I just think they have the depth more so than any other team remaining. But what were your kind of takeaways from Chris right there? He said a lot, whether it was the Giants or whether it was the Niners. Where do you want to start?
Well, the Brock Purdy part, I think that's been my big struggle. When we talk about these players and we talk about the finances, it's a little like the housing market in the Bay Area. There's either, you know, shacks for $750, $850, $950, or mansions for over $2 million.
Yeah.
Right? There's like no middle class in the Bay Area. Everyone's outpriced, right? At every level. And when I look at the quarterback market, it just feels like everybody goes to the top of the barrel in terms of price point. And the difference between a rookie quarterback scale wage and a middle of the pack, just go Tua, right? We think he's kind of middle of the pack.
Sure.
He could be 8 on a given day. He could be 16 on a given day. We all would agree, like, that guy's getting really overpaid compared to, you know, a rookie first-round quarterback, you know, price point. There's no middle ground, right? There's just no medium market, middle class. I feel the same thing happened for the NBA for quite some time. I would see a guy like, let's just say, DeJounte Murray go from rookie contract, you got to pay him a maximum slot.
Yeah,
it's like, how many point guards before I get to DeJounte Murray?
Emmanuel Quickley, right? That was another one.
Great example. Kuminga.
Yeah.
Kuminga currently, right? I think a part of this Kuminga conversation has become a little silly. Is Kuminga worth $35 million? No, he's not. But the market dictates that he has to get. Hold up. Why can't he get $22 million? Right? That's a big bump up in pay.
Yeah.
It's not the $40 million. He's not a $40 million player.
I mean, you know why. Because their agent gets in their ears and said, no, I have this team over here that says they'd pay this much for you. So we're going to try to milk his emotion. And the agent obviously has a vested interest in this because he wants a percentage out of it. So they're going to tell him, no, you're going to stick out for this much money. And then maybe if there's a situation where you feel like it's best for everyone involved, then you'll go to that. But I'm just telling you, we're talking about the process of this. That's a big process of it, because you got someone in your ear telling you you're worth more.
Well, and
you're going to listen to those people that tell you that you're worth more, right?
Well, no, and these teams feel like they're over a barrel. So, like, hey, I'm the Sacramento Kings.
Sure.
I have De'Aaron Fox. You got to max him. I know he hasn't had an all-star season. Got to max him. Gosh. Oh, I got Sabonis. I got to max him because he's going to leave if we don't give him exactly what he wants. And then they end up leaving you anyway. And I just feel like what has happened to the quarterback market is very similar, where there's just no middle ground. And it's like, how many max players are there in the NBA?
There's a lot, right?
Okay, yeah. Okay. But how many truly max players are there in the NBA? Like a LeBron or a Steph or, in this one, an SGA, where their max money is not equivalent to someone else's max money. You cannot overpay right now for SGA. You cannot overpay right now for Steph Curry or LeBron James. So their maximum slot money is not equivalent to the money that they're bringing in. Conversely, you're overpaying for a lot of these other max money. Like let's call it what it is. Jimmy Butler's going to make max money.
Yeah.
He's not a max player anymore.
No.
And that's not a negative to Jimmy. He's a great player. But I don't love paying him $60 million. But there's no middle ground here.
Is he a max player come playoff time, though? That's the question I guess I would have. Because you're not going to get that production from a max player. Like, You want that production from the regular season all the way throughout the playoffs, but you know you're not, like, I'm not paying LeBron to be LeBron 1 through 82, right? Like, it'd be nice. The guy's 40 years old. Like, Jimmy Butler's 35 going on 36. Steph's 37 going on 38. I would love that production all season long. I know I'm not going to get that, but you're paying these guys because when push comes to shove, you want to win in the playoffs. Now, it's unfortunate because Steph got hurt. Jimmy couldn't win the game by himself, quote-unquote, even though it's not all on him, like a lot of us want to put all on him. But I understand what you're saying. By the way, shout-out to those watching on Twitch and YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Finance with the dealer. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Before we hit the break, let's go to Deli Boy has some thoughts, and he's on the River Islands guest line. What's up, Deli Boy?
Gentlemen, how we doing this morning?
Swell. What you got?
Hey, listen. I'm talking about Rose. Thanks right now. This is what I want to touch on. You know, Joe, I know you saw a lot of similarities between Matt Cain and Logan Webb. And I feel like, you know, their numbers are very comparable when it's like Logan Webb is not going to go out there and throw 12 Ks in a game. He's not going to go out there and just give shutout innings. He's a pitcher that throws, that puts the ball in play. And you got to rely on the guys 1 through 9 in your lineup to get you a run or two. I mean, how many times have we seen Matt Cain lose game 2-1, 3-2, 1-0? I see a lot of that with Webb where it's like the bats just get cold whenever he comes up to the mound every 5 days. And I think it sucks. I think he's an ace, in my opinion. I think if he was on any other team, I think he'd be right there 1, maybe 2, depending on who's right there. But for the Giants, he's an ace. And I think we kind of underappreciate how good.
Hey, Deli Boy, your phone's breaking up there a bit. Your phone's breaking up there a bit. I would ask you, who is closer to being at the upper echelon of each individual sport in their position? Is it Logan Webb being an ace and being up there with those top 10 players? Or is it Brock Purdy up there being up there closer to the elite quarterbacks?
I think I would go Logan Webb.
Would you go Logan Webb over Purdy?
Yeah, I think I would go Logan Webb. And that's not a knock on Purdy.
You know what? I honestly, I think they're pretty much the same, and they're more middle top of the pack. I wouldn't say that they're the top 5, 10, but I say that they're the strong 12, maybe 15 of their respective positions.
There's way more pitchers in baseball too. There's
just
way
more against it.
There's way more elite pitchers in baseball than there are elite.
No, for sure. It's not the most fair comparison, but it's an interesting thought exercise when it comes to, you know, how you rank amongst your peers, because Chris Rose has some really good thoughts, and we'll pick this conversation up on the other side when it comes to elite players. And I think when you use that word, it's a trigger word for a lot of people. You're elite. Oh my God, that's why I brought up Joe Flacco, right? Because the conversation, he won a Super Bowl, right? Against the Niners. You remember, is Joe Flacco elite? Well, when I watch him in the playoffs, God, he makes great throws and decisions. He looks incredible. But then in the regular season, he's cheek sometimes. It's like, I don't know what he is. He's really good when it's prime time.
I hate you always bring him up.
Why do you hate?
Because he beat the Niners. and he went absolutely nuclear with Jacoby Jones and Anquan Boldin, and they just destroyed Chris Culliver. And I just, every time I think of Joe Flacco, I think of that run that he went on when he beat us. I hate him.
It was one of the all-time runs.
I hate him so much. We went, two guys buzzsawed us, Eli Manning and Joe Flacco, on their en route to winning Super Bowls.
You know, this hasn't been a crazy offseason for the 49ers, as I've mentioned. It really hasn't been a crazy offseason in the NFL. Really, the only crazy thing that happened was during the draft, and it was Shedeur Sanders sliding to the 5th round. But when it comes to the sport of basketball, we live for the drama in crazy offseasons. Let's discuss what could potentially be a crazy offseason in summer of 2025. On the other side, brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. So find that interview there. Chris Rose, really good stuff. Talking Brock Purdy, talking expectations, talking Logan Webb and the Giants. He's a little more skeptical on their chances to make the playoffs this year. He doesn't really know if there's an answer out there to cure the offense for San Francisco right now. It is tough. What else is tough right now is if you're a Warriors fan and watching these playoffs, and if you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, and your all these other teams that have gotten eliminated. It's very difficult to watch the fact that we're about to see, probably, barring a miracle comeback, we're going to watch Oklahoma City versus the Indiana Pacers in the final. Not exactly perennial household franchises, if you will. Indiana's gone to how many finals? One, I want to say, in my lifetime. Reggie Miller, like old man Chris Mullin on that team, losing to the 2000 Lakers, right? Shaq, Kobe, all of them. Like, that's the only time I could think of they made a finals, right? Am I missing another year? Did they make it in the 90s? Did they miss the finals? Joe, I'm talking to you here.
The Pacers?
Pacers.
The only one that I could think of.
Is that one, right?
Yes, is that one.
Oklahoma City. They've done it once.
I was just thinking while you were saying it.
Sorry. Yeah.
I was trying to like.
No, you're calibrating.
Compute, yeah.
You're good. You're a chat GPT.
Obviously, the Knicks lost.
Yes. Both those teams are up 3-1 now, Pacers and Oklahoma City. And now if I'm a Warriors fan, I'm saying, all right, I could get to that. We could beat those teams. We could have beaten them. Had Steph not gotten hurt. If I'm a Warriors fan right now, God, I would have loved our chances. Now, I wouldn't say we would have won. I'm not saying we would have beaten Oklahoma City. Hell, you had to get past Minnesota first if Steph stayed healthy. I don't even know if that's a given. But just looking at the lack of depth it now seems for, and maybe I shouldn't say that because Minnesota, because their top two star players just haven't shown up, Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle. But the depth that's on display for Oklahoma City compared to the likes of Minnesota, it's night and day. Same with the Pacers. They just have too much offensive firepower for the New York Knicks to handle right now.
I do not think like you think.
Okay, how are you thinking?
I don't think that the Warriors, as currently constructed, were going to beat any of these four teams.
Really?
No.
None of them?
They don't have enough shooting. Period. I think the number one thing that when I watch OKC and Minnesota, they shoot better than we do. And they have waves of guys on the starting lineup and on the bench that are just deeper, better threats than us offensively. I don't think we had enough in the bag in terms of scoring. That's my personal opinion.
I hear you on that, but also I keep, and maybe this is not fair, but you go back to that game one, and Steph, prior to the injury, was looking great. He was looking awesome. And again, I'm not saying, even with a healthy Stephen Curry, they're this offensive juggernaut. I'm not saying that at all. But I will say, I love their chances, and they were still playing pretty good defensively at times, enough for me anyways, to say, man, if you won that series, and the way they've matched up, again, in the regular season against OKC these last few years, they had a chance.
Did you see the end of the OKC Thunder game the other day?
Yes.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is hunched over after having close to maximum rest.
Yeah.
Right? I'm talking about to end the season, and then to begin and throughout the playoffs, maximum rest. He was hunched over, fully exhausted.
He was. This is also his first taste of true, like a deep, deep playoff run. He did get to the semifinals last year. This is his first time doing this.
I just don't think, after seeing what I saw from the Warriors just to get through Houston, they would have had anything left. Even if they would have found a way to beat Minnesota, which I'm not convinced on, even at full strength. I'm not convinced after watching that. I don't know if they had an answer for Randall.
Well, that tells me then you think this team needs to make some changes this offseason.
I think everything needs to be on the table outside of Steph Curry. Everything. Okay. And I'm not saying you could find that, and I'm not saying that that's what is, you know, plausible. But after watching, and I've watched every one of these games, Indiana versus New York, there are waves of players hitting shots on both teams. There are waves of guys.
Yes.
When I watch Minnesota versus OKC, Minnesota had way more offensive firepower than us, and that pales in comparison to what they're going up against with OKC.
That, all that being fair and all that being equal, I think a lot of teams right now are in the Warriors' boat that feel like they're a player or two away from being in the spot that Oklahoma City or Indiana or the Knicks or T-Wolves are in right now. I think, you know, if I'm Cleveland, as we were just talking to Chris Rose, a big diehard Cleveland sports fan, he believed that they could have won a title this year. And it just didn't come to fruition.
Maybe.
They were really good, and the rest of hell, they blew out the Warriors twice. They destroyed them both times. Different iteration of the Warriors, but mind you, they were that good. They had a great season, but it ended in the second round. So you look at that. You look at the Lakers. They have Luka, and it looks like LeBron's going to opt into his contract, and they're going to keep him. Austin Reeves, I don't know. Are they going to make a big splash? They're always waiting or trying to make a big splash. Rob Pelinka, obviously. So Dallas Mavericks, hell. They got Anthony Davis. They're probably going to get Cooper Flagg, I would assume, and barring some sort of another another Nico Harrison disaster class. I don't know even now how he still has a job there. It's insane. And then they're going to get Kyrie Irving back at some point next year. You'd assume they're going to be all over these trade talks. The Houston Rockets, right? They're not going to just stand pat. They're going to do something. They're going to, hell, maybe they blow it up, quote-unquote, and get trade Şengün and try to go get Giannis. I don't know. Giannis is going to be out. So I'm telling you right now, craziness is going to happen this offseason. You don't believe me? Listen to Shams Charania, ESPN, who's more tapped in than anybody when it comes to the league.
This is the most, I think, anticipation team executives have had over an offseason. I think this is going to be the craziest offseason of all of. I don't want to say all time. We just came off a trade deadline. We just came off a trade deadline. I think what might have been, it was the craziest of all time. I think this offseason might be the most craziest ever. What you have right now is you have the parity in the league.
English class
sucks. It's so thin right now. Like, as far as the thin line of where you can win a championship or you might be falling into the lottery. And I think the ability to go out there and improve your team and get there to championship level, I think that's on the minds of everyone around the league. So how can you elevate your team?
That was Shams Charania on Pat McAfee yesterday, sound courtesy of ESPN. He thinks it's going to be one of the craziest off-seasons ever. And if I was to tell Warriors fans that this off-season was going to be crazy for them, what would that entail, Joe? Let me ask you, what would your definition for this Warriors off-season to be crazy, how would that fit your definition?
It would be trading Jimmy or Draymond.
That would be crazy for me.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to do it. That's why I think it would be crazy.
Okay, that's...
Kuminga,
so,
I am resignated to the fact it feels like Kuminga is already gone.
Really?
Whether that's true or not. Now, keeping Kuminga would be crazy to me. Like, as in, today I expect him to be traded. Come week one of the regular season, if he's still on the team, I would be like, wow, that's kind of crazy. Wouldn't you?
Yes. That being said, when Anthony Slater talked to us and said, actually, it's not that crazy, he'd be there on game 1 week.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, but Anthony Slater knows his stuff.
After the Jordan
Poole
series.
When he tells me that, I listen.
After Clay and Jordan Poole and whatever happened against the Lakers, I was like, it is crazy if Draymond and Jordan Poole are on this team again next year. And they got rid of Jordan Poole.
I know.
It was even crazier because they brought in Chris Paul.
But there was stuff that happened involved in there, right?
Has there not been stuff with Kuminga? I'm not saying it's
not to that level, though, is what I'm saying. I don't think it's the toxicity.
As bad as it was, Jordan Poole didn't get DMP'd for multiple games
okay.
in a row.
But that being said, the toxicity between Steve Kerr, if that's the word you want to use.
Jonathan Kuminga sat down more than Draymond did after the punch.
Okay. There's not the level between toxicity between Jordan Poole and Draymond Green is not the same as Kuminga and Kerr.
I'm not saying
it
is. I'm saying that clearly there's a Kuminga issue with whatever it is, coach, players. Like we can't ignore it. Like come on. The guy went from being the second leading scorer and second best player on the floor to literal DMPs for not just a game or two, like weeks on end.
No, I understand that. That being said, for me. I do think it would still be crazy to see how it all went down. Like, you trade Jonathan Kuminga after all this. Maybe crazy is not the right word. We'd have conversations about the entire process.
I would be shocked if he's a Warrior.
You'd be shocked if he's a Warrior.
Yes.
Wow. Really?
Have we not been paying attention?
No, I've been paying attention.
This is like your wife that's telling you, like, I want to leave you. And it's like, I'm shocked you're serving me with divorce papers.
I guess it's one of those things where until it happens, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. The proof is in the pudding, right? It goes back to the, you haven't seen $1 million, Joe Everett. How do you know it's real? It's like,
season on the line. Season on the line. Yes. He proved he could play in that series, and they still didn't start him.
Well,
still didn't play 40 minutes.
Well, I mean, prove that he could play on the floor and play his own game, not the Warriors' offense that they clearly
did. They had no offense.
Well,
I watched them.
I know.
You watched them.
And he was a
we
part of it.
We all watched them.
Great.
They were done.
He had great individual stat and individual performances, and the team didn't win. That's just baked into the equation right there. And by the way, Shams saying, again, we're reacting to the Shams Charania sound, that he's saying this could be the craziest offseason ever. What would be a crazy move for you? Dub Nation?
Standing back.
You know what? That's acceptable.
That would be nuts.
Would that be crazy for the Warriors just to not do anything? 888-957-9570.
I think standing back would be insane.
That would be insane to you?
Yes.
Okay. Like,
you only have 2 more years of Steph. The way they need to operate is we've got 2 more years of Steph. So if that's the case, I'm not saying you can't roll back with Jimmy and Draymond Green. You can. Everything should be on the table. And if they rolled back with the exact same team they have right now, essentially, and they don't move Kuminga and they don't move anyone else, and it's pretty much the same team, I think that would be kind of insane. It's not good enough.
See, I don't think they're going to trade Jimmy Butler or Draymond Green. Just given all the comments made after the season was over, it sounds like they're all in on that trio of Steph, Jimmy, Draymond. And I do think, and I agree with you, having watched these playoffs in the future, obviously, it's always the future is in the kid. The kids are our future. I believe the children are our future, right? That's how it always is in sports. It's the youth movement. It always is going to be that. The era of clinging to these old franchises and these old, the LeBrons, the Stephs, you know, trying to make the old super teams. I don't think that's the move anymore. So while I agree with you that keeping those three as your trio, if that's not the best thing, I would still be shocked if they moved any of those guys. I would be shocked. And Steph, absolutely, that's just not happening.
That's not happening.
But Draymond Green is an interesting name. Like, if I was to tell you that they kept Jimmy and Steph, but Draymond wasn't a Golden State Warrior, would you be...
Yeah, that would be shocking.
That would be crazy for you.
Yeah, it would be. You want to talk about, like, I'll believe it when I see it. That's me with Draymond not being on the Warriors.
Like, if they kept Kuminga and not Draymond.
I mean, that would be crazy.
That would be nuts, right?
Be crazy.
But, you know what? But like
Joe, you're looking at these playoffs, right? And you answer to me, okay? You tell me if this is accurate or not. Let's just pick the Pacers as an example. Who's guarding Haliburton on the Warriors currently? Okay. Who's guarding Pascal Siakam?
Draymond.
Uh-huh. How'd that go with Julius Randle?
Not great. And Draymond told us that.
How did it go in 2019 when Pascal went up against him?
Not great. Draymond told us that too.
Okay. Right. Now let's go to the other side. OKC. All right. Who's guarding SGA?
Probably Jimmy.
I'm not even saying that you're slowing these guys down. I'm saying literally who's guarding him. Jimmy's not guarding SGA.
He can't.
Did he guard Ant-Man?
He should have.
But Moody, maybe? But I'm asking, did he?
No, at times.
So he's not going to guard Ant-Man, but all of a sudden now he's going to guard SGA?
I mean, I would like to say Kuminga gets his opportunity, but he's not starting. Like, no.
This is where I'm going back. This is process of elimination.
Pods can't guard him.
They're not good enough. Okay. They have to do something this offseason dramatic. If they think that they have a chance to win a title and somebody out there is available who can immediately solve one of those two woes, until otherwise, it's not good enough. And I'm not trying to be negative or Debit or Downey. I'm being fair and realistic, and I'm assessing the reality of the landscape.
We can also accept that, like, listen, I don't want to sound like I'm talking out both sides of my mouth here, saying that, like, hey, like, this current trio of Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond might not be good enough to win you in the West. That there's no shame in that. The West is just really freaking
good.
No, it
might not. And that is realistic, and that's kind of why I am more open than others to moving Jimmy Butler.
I do think the era's over now. The era is done in basketball where we could just slot one team in the finals.
I agree.
I don't think we're getting back to that anymore.
OKC is learning that the hard way right now.
Yes.
That they have had to fight tooth and claw their way through the series. Again, SGA is hunched over with as close to maximum rest as one could have at this point in the season, given their schedule and the way that they've worked it. And he was hunched over, completely out of energy at the end of that game.
888-957-9570. Your definition of crazy. How would this offseason be crazy for the Warriors? 888-957-9570. Sham Sharani on Pat McAfee said yesterday that this is going to be one of the craziest offseasons ever. I'm just going back to crazy offseasons in NBA history, Joe. I think the craziest is still 2010, right? LeBron, the decision.
It's the most insane.
There was
of all time.
So many different
and
iterations.
Bosch. Chris Bosh is nine-time All-Star.
You want me to tell you the 2010 Miami Heat offseason recap?
Yeah.
So they lost.
And then who did the Bulls end up getting?
Exactly. So here, yeah, I got it all right here. They lost. So Miami in 2010 lost Michael Beasley.
Yeah. I liked Michael Beasley.
Jermaine O'Neal, Quentin Richardson, Darrell Wright.
Yeah.
They added Chris Bosh, Eddie House,
Arizona State Hayward.
Yep. Juwan Howard, old man Juwan still. He's probably like 50 years old then still. Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Gotta have Big Z.
That's right, love Z. LeBron James. Mike Miller.
Yeah, just Mike
Jerry Miller. Stackhouse.
Yeah, the Stack.
Yeah. And Dexter Pittman. Mick who?
Oh, yeah, from Texas.
Wow, look at you. You remember. That was great.
Yeah, this is back when I watched college basketball.
Here's a good one. You want to go to the Warriors? Do you remember what the Warriors did in 2010?
Ronnie Turioff.
Okay, so this is who they lost first. I'm going to tell you who they lost. Kalena Azubuike.
Uh-huh.
De'Veon George.
They made the trade for David Lee.
Chris Hunter.
Yeah.
Corey Maggette.
Uh-huh.
Anthony Morrow.
They missed out on Elton Brand.
Anthony Randolph.
Uh-huh.
Anthony Tolliver, you said, Ronnie Turioff, and C.J. Watson.
Yeah.
All right. They added Jeff Adrian.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Lou Amundsen? Amundsen?
Oh, yeah, Amundsen. Lou Amundsen. Oh, man.
The best man bun.
He had the bun. He was the werewolf.
Lou Amundsen.
I remember him from the Suns, remember? He looked like a... I always thought he looked like a werewolf. The guy was hilarious. Charlie Bell?
Oh, yeah, Charlie Bell.
Nick who?
Such a dark year.
I think they waived him when you could amnesty one player. He might have been... It was him or Raja Bell. One of the Bells was waived. Keep going.
And they had Andre. They could have amnestied Andres Biedrins, but decided not to.
Rodney Carney, remember that name?
Oh, how could I forget?
This is the Keith Smart year, isn't it?
Yeah. Dan Gadzurich.
Gadzurich?
Gonzaga.
Oregon. It was one of the two.
I give you Gonzaga
Oregon
names
Gonzaga.
Like Mathrin or whatever, and you can't even give me. You give me that Gadzurich. Mick who?
Gadzurich.
Thank you. Gadzurich, but it looks like it's Zurich.
If you say him, I say Dan Dickow. Like, for whatever reason, those two are very comparable.
David Lee, of course.
Of course. How could I forget? One of my favorite offseason acquisitions.
Jeremy Lin, undrafted in 2010.
He barely played for the Warriors. This thing that the Warriors, like, whiffed on Lin, everyone did.
Come on, give me the first-round pick in 2010. Who was it?
In 2010, the first-round pick, not Patrick O'Brien.
Six overall.
Yeah,
out of Baylor.
Oh, well, it's my guy who got traded. Ekpe Udo.
There you go.
Ekpe Udo.
After he wrecked St. Mary's in the Sweet 16.
And Darrell Wright coming from the Heat to the Warriors on July 12, 2010. We're talking about crazy offseasons.
Guys.
That was so crazy.
Guys. Look, they had a great run. They did. They caught lightning in a bottle. I am not denying. I had a lot of fun with it. But the reality is they failed to guard Kawhi and James Harden in the most important regular season game of the year. All right? Would you agree with me on that?
Yes.
Okay. They also failed to guard who? Zubac in that game. So a perimeter player and a big. Now that's with a guy who finished on the all defensive team.
Is it a cop out if I say those are two Hall of Fame players that played Hall of Fame games?
Guess who you're gonna be playing in the playoffs?
Sure. It's gonna be tough. That was one game though, Joe. Like I hear you.
Okay.
And they had a really good first round series when they were up 3-1 at one point. I want to say
Zubac
that.
Is not a Hall of Famer, but he's a good player.
Well, he might as well be a Hall of Famer when he plays the Warriors, but continue.
All right. Then you played Houston, and again, Fred VanVleet destroyed you. And Şengün, right? So a perimeter player and a big. Okay.
A couple games Fred VanVleet destroyed you. Not all of them, a couple of them. Yes.
Then you get to the next round, okay? Who destroyed you?
Julius Randle.
Now, you could say to me, Joe, we didn't have Steph Curry in that round. You're correct. I still don't think that they had the comparable defensive stoppers to slow that team down. Minnesota is not going away. That's a team you have to build to defeat, okay? I don't think Houston's going away, and they're probably going to make a splash move. That's a team you have to build to defeat. OKC, what do they have? Well, they've got Chet, who is a very unique big, but they've got two perimeter players in Jalen Williams and SGA that you're going to have to stop with a lot of other shooters around them, okay? As great as Steph is offensively, it's not like he is solving one of their biggest issues right now. Whether it's him on the floor or not on the floor, they have two problems. They can't guard anyone on the perimeter, and they can't stop any skilled big. Mm. So that is the number one and number two need for me. And that's before I even get to offense, where they desperately need more shooting, right? So you could say to me, Joe, they beat a bunch of non-playoff teams. They had a great run. They beat Houston. They knocked them off. That is true.
They beat some playoff teams in that run, though, that were important.
Missing bigs.
Okay, but they beat the Grizzlies.
Okay.
They beat the Lakers.
I don't think highly of the Grizzlies, but
that's
continue.
Fine, but they were a playoff team at the time.
Uh-huh.
They beat the Lakers.
But they won
in L.A., which you
without
could,
who?
Without, what do you mean, without who?
They beat, one of them was fully healthy, but one of the times when they beat them prior, they had...
Oh, okay.
No, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. I'm talking about towards the end, that run that stretch that they had.
That was a great win.
They beat the Grizzlies, Lakers, and the Nuggets, who were like teams that you've struggled against, specifically the Lakers and Nuggets you'd struggled mightily against, and he beat both of them.
Jokic didn't play.
No, he played in that one.
In the one, yeah. But Murray didn't play in that game.
Yeah, sure, but Murray was hurt. Like that was.
I'm just saying, we have to be fair in this. I agree. Like, yes, the team went on a really nice run. They also beat a lot of teams that, looking back on it, like, does that Laker win hold the same weight today as it did the day after?
Maybe not. He had a great Pajemski game. I thought that meant a lot for him.
It doesn't mean that like, blow everything up and they aren't doing anything well. What I'm saying is like, this Kuminga mythical trade that everyone wants to make. Let's say they get themselves Cam Johnson. Now, instantly, they become a better shooting team, right? I don't argue. Is he guarding any of those guys I'm talking about?
Well, he plays good defense, though, does he not? He's a good switch guy.
Is he a guy you're throwing on SGA on
Luka? At times, yes. At times. But this is all about switching now, Joe. Like, gone are the days where it's going to be me. Hey, I'm locking up this guy. This is me. Like, that Kobe mama mentality, it's lost now. Like, this whole game is about switching and switching and switching.
The two teams that are in the Western Conference Finals right now have specific multiple pieces that hound you on the perimeter.
I know.
And can knock down shots.
Well, I know. That's why the Caruso acquisition was just, we talked about it at the time. It was just so great.
He locked up Jokic for crying out loud at the end of that series.
And he's had so many good defensive possessions against Ant-Man. Hell, if he has to get switched up on Randle, he's long enough and big enough against some of the others. Hell, talking about Curry stoppers, he was a guy that had success on Curry at times guarding him. So, that was a huge move for them.
I just don't think this team is a one Kuminga trade away from being right back in the Western. I think they need to do a variety of moves.
I do think if they somehow got Cam Johnson and you just lost Kuminga for it, maybe a pick. I don't know how the picks are going to get involved. I think a lot of Warriors fans are calling saying that was the missing link and we'll be fine. I do think that. I think that's good enough of an offseason for some Warriors fans. If you're able to switch JK for Cam Johnson.
I think it might be an upgrade for their offense, and it might be an upgrade for certain things. But I keep coming back to, guys, we have no center that guards, okay? And we, as great as Draymond is as a defender, and we have no perimeter defense right now. We just don't.
I mean, who's the center right now for, like, Rudy Gobert is the center for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Rudy Gobert is significantly better than Quentin Post and Kevon Looney right now.
I understand. You can make adjustments there in the offseason. You could do that.
Yeah, but it's not just Gobert. It's the Randall Gobert tandem that has really stifled them. And they had no answers for that.
888-957-9570 again. And then I think Steph getting hurt again threw a monkey wrench
into
the entire
Steven
game.
Adams some like top 15 player in the league? He destroyed them.
He did.
Steven Adams.
Until he didn't in Game 7 when it mattered most. But I hear you. I'm just saying. They were up 3-1 against them. They were. I think that was more of the Warriors letting their foot off the gas, the Rockets punching them back in the mouth.
I think it was pretty Warriors. Close.
Steven's in Oakland. He wants to join in the conversation. 888-957-9570. We're talking crazy offseason. Sham Sharani of ESPN said this potentially has the potential to be the craziest offseason ever in the NBA. What's your definition of crazy when it comes to the Warriors in this offseason? Steven, Oakland, what you got, man? You're on the morning roast.
I think it would be crazy if the team got off its core. We saw that they are playoff capable, and that means a lot, especially if you know, with Steph, you always got to consider injury. But with Steph, we had a commanding lead and a commanding control of the game one against Minnesota. I think we talked about this before the playoffs even happened when we fell to the seventh seed. We need a wing defender and we need a big. And
yes.
We need an athletic big. You know, Looney has a lot of size and he can rebound, but we need a big that can contest layups and shots at the rim. And we need a big, just a consistent 3-and-D wing defender that can hit open knockdown threes with confidence. That's what we missed with players like Moody and GP2. And just a really stretchy wing defender that makes the other team's guards have to shoot over the defender. We don't have, like, GP2's kind of short. Moody's not tall. Pods is not tall. You know, and also, instead of having a good Pods game of, like, 25 points, if we could have, like, a consistent Pods game of, like, 15 to, like, you know, 12, 15, 17 points consistently, I think our team would be much better.
Look at the four teams remaining, okay? Think about the front lines that each of these teams has. Cat and Mitchell Robinson. That's a lot of size,
sure.
Right? And now we could argue about how great of a defender, you know, Cat is, but when he does play, he provides length. Indiana, right? They've got Miles Turner and they've got Pascal Siakam.
Big.
Correct?
Big, long. Yes.
Yes. And their point guard plays way bigger, and he's a huge guy, right? Yeah. So that they benefit from that, almost like a Sean Livingston type of a body. Hardenstein and Chet Holmgren. It's a dynamic front court.
Yes.
All right? And then Gobert and Julius Randle. We're trotting out Draymond at 6'6", and I don't know what else.
Right. Not Quentin Post. Yeah.
We look like, I mean, if we're going with this analogy, we look more like a Memphis Grizzly team, you know, playing a brand of basketball from yesteryear than we do some cutting edge revolutionary offense and defense. All the teams now that are having success employ not one, but two legitimate bigs. One is an offensive threat and both can give you something in terms of rim defending.
Who do you guys think are the two best shot blockers on the world?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.